If it's happening now, we're talking about it. This is Hamilton Today with Scott Thompson on 900 CHML.
Peter Grafe joining us, professor of political science at McMaster University. Talk about what they're all up to at this point. Peter, thanks for the time. I hope you're well.
I am, thanks.
So Andrea Horvath announces a platform today, including a 10-year housing platform that includes eliminating the affordable housing wait list through collaboration, increasing housing supply to bring down market costs, creating a dedicated department to streamline the building process, recognition that housing is a basic human right, and tackling homelessness. Your thoughts? A lot of this stuff sounds, well, they're all talking about building more houses. Can we make this happen, do you think?
I think all three main mayoral candidates are making promises around housing, but you know, the number of tools they actually hold to make it happen are a bit limited. There's some things around, planning and zoning, where obviously they can make things better. Maybe Andrea Horvath has been the most specific of the candidates in terms of how she might sort of streamline the process within City Hall and to make it more transparent, but they're all kind of telling similar stories. There's just a limit. I mean, ultimately, you have to get either public money to build housing, or to, you know, encourage not-for-profits to build that housing, or you have to find ways to have private developers come in and build housing. So, you know, the actual ability as a mayor is really going to be related a lot to what's happening in the decisions of the federal and provincial governments. And again, our different candidates have said that they are, you know, going to create better relationships with those governments, but in most cases, they aren't actually going to be making decisions to help Hamilton. It's because it's going to serve the interests of Doug Ford or Justin Trudeau to be putting more money into that program Canada-wide, and probably more how it's going to play in places like Vancouver and Toronto. So, I mean, it's good that our candidates for mayor are concerned about housing, because it's a concern of many Hamiltonians. But the solutions, to me, in my mind, look much the same, and a lot of their success will be related to the decisions of senior levels of government, and secondarily, you know, whether local developers see it as profitable for them to be building the kinds of housing available to them.
Many have said the municipalities have been stumbling blocks, whether it's the NIMBYism of trying to fill an infill lot within the city limits, or it's environmentalists not wanting to expand the urban boundary. Many have said that this does lie at the hands of the municipalities. That being said, it's odd, as I said to you before, in the last provincial election, all four major political parties were talking about building a million homes. It's amazing how this is the focus now. That being said, how difficult is that at the city level with the municipalities, and considering, well, and that's why we come up with a strong mayor's power thing out of Queen's Park for Toronto and Ottawa. That was to kind of hopefully break that logjam.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's, you know, and we've seen in Hamilton, an unwillingness to explore things like laneway housing, or, you know, always putting, you know, limits on that. And, you know, anyone actually promises to do anyone tries to develop some infill housing, and there'll be, you know, a street full of residents saying that this is, the sky is going to fall. And then, you know, 5 years later, I go past that place and it just looks fine in the neighborhood, and the sky hasn't fallen. But, you know, the upside of this discussion is that there will be more pressure on the mayor to lead council. Part of the problem is, you're right, city councilors talk one game generally, but then when it's a street in their ward, they suddenly are on the sides of those who don't want to have any kind of densification. And so again, a mayor who's willing to actually, you know, step forward and make the case and push the rest of the councillors to, you know, stick to that position rather than, you know, just always kowtowing the position of the local councillor, because they kind of see it as a tit for tat, right? If they support the local councillor, then the other councillors will support them when they're trying to do that, and not much gets done. So, yeah, I mean, there is space for councils to do a lot better in terms of the planning process, and having mayors that are pushing, you know, for ways of removing that sort of that local break is useful in terms of if the point is just to get more units built.
In the Bob Bertina camp, getting the support of the transit union in Hamilton, saying earlier on last week, I believe, that with the LRT, that should be run by the HSR. Your thoughts on this endorsement?
Yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, Bob Rutina has been the candidate who's come out and said, yeah, the LRT, when it's there, should be run by, you know, the ATU members. So it's, you know, it's pretty, you know, tit for tat. What's all interest of the ATU is having to have those jobs, and Bob to them too. Surprising. I mean, it's also, you know, similarly when Luna came out and supported Keenan Loomis earlier in this campaign, you know, again, I think there's similar views on the question of the LRT, you know, explained, you know, why they did that. They saw Keenan Loomis as the LRT candidate, and, you know, there's a lot of jobs for the boys when you're building a huge system like that. So, you know, again, I think we're seeing unions taking pretty logical positions in terms of deciding where their bread is buttered.
Keenan Loomis spouting change, a different direction in transparency and such. How does he make noise? How does he make hay amongst these other higher profile candidates who are getting some pretty big endorsements?
Well, I think he really has to find a way of making this a campaign, you know, about issues, I guess. You know, that's what he's been running on. He has a particular platform. And he's running against two candidates who are really running on name recognition. And so, I mean, he does have to find a way of waking up the campaign and developing some real points of difference between himself and those candidates. I think to date we've seen with the platforms that Bob Rutina and Andrea Horvath has come out, they've made, the life difficult for him. Because while he has a number of, you know, promises that look a bit different than theirs, overall they're all, I think, dancing in pretty much a similar space. And so for, you know, voters who are really interested in the issues, they're probably, you know, making pretty fine-grained changes or decisions between them. I mean, the other opportunity for Keenan Loomis is to say, well, this is a change election and we have two, you know, longtime politicos that he's running up against. And, you know, he might be able to move in that manner. But I think it would be a lot easier for him if he had a greater degree of name recognition within the cities so that he could really leverage that difference. I think to date, particularly when you're the Chamber of Commerce, the former Chamber of Commerce president, you're not necessarily seen as someone who's really that out of step with the way things have been done in the city over the past 25 years.
Peter Greff with us, professor of political science, McMaster University, talking about Hamilton's mayoral race. Peter, as always, thank you for the time. Be well.
And you too.
Thanks for listening to the Hamilton Today podcast. You can listen to the show live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 900 CHML and online at 900CHML.com.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.